You asked for it. Here it is. It's a podcast from Apathetic Enthusiasm.
Coming to you live from Sleepyville, California. Completely unrelated to this episode, but definitely related to staying awake and podcasting with my best friend, Travis. I should sleep more, but this is more important. This is Interdimensional RSS, the unofficial Rick and Morty podcast.
Good morning, everybody, or good evening, or welcome back from a mid-afternoon nap. However you're enjoying this podcast, we're so happy that you're here. Hello, everybody. My name's Travis.
Hey, everybody. My name is Brandon, and this is a fantastic day. It's going to be high energy, high impact, kind of like aerobic.
Well-rested.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
It's just so focused on exactly what we're going to talk about, which is, of course, Rick and Morty the anime.
Hell yeah.
Welcome to Interdimensional RSS. We are halfway through the season for Rick and Morty the anime. So glad that you're here. If you're new to the podcast, if you're checking us out for the first time, thank you. Thank you for downloading. Thank you for watching if you're watching online. If you want to get in contact with us, ask us a question or anything like that, you can do that in all sorts of ways. You can follow us on X at Rick and Morty Pod. You can follow us on Facebook. Facebook.com/Rick and Morty Podcast. Rick and Morty Podcast is our Instagram, and you can send us emails at rickandmortypodcast@gmail.com. That's an old link. We're not going to say that link. We are scouring the subreddits. You can find us on Reddit either at the official Rick and Morty subreddit, rickandmorty.reddit.com, or on our subreddit, rickandmortypodcast.reddit.com. And then finally, you can get video versions of the podcast over at youtube.com/apatheticenthusiasm. Big thanks to everybody who is watching the videos over there. Finally, big thanks to our patrons at patreon.com/apatheticenthusiasm, where you can find bonus content, including video post shows that we record after every podcast that we make. You can also catch let's just face it. It's video of Brandon's crotch.
Let's face it.
It's there. Let's call it what it is. A little video of Brandon having a beverage malfunction prior to our podcast last week.
Yeah, let's talk about that real fast. Speaking of my crotch, there's my phone.
Giving it away for free now.
Yeah,
jeez.
Yeah.
Not even behind the paywall.
And also there's my
login information.
what you may not notice on my desktop is no keyboard. That's right. Because I still
break the keyboard when you spilled stuff on it.
Yeah, I went to log into my computer and I was like typing in my password. Like it keeps being wrong. It's because my keyboard no longer processes the right side of not all of them, just most of the buttons. So R, it doesn't work. That was one of the characters in my password. Yeah, I'll admit it.
Hold on, I gotta take notes. Hold on.
As a matter of fact, here's the characters of my password.
Okay. All right. I'm going to cut you off right there, Bridget.
Anywho. Yeah. So I need to get a new keyboard, but I'm also like an old school 70s rock star where I'm like typing with my right hand on the, my laptop.
Like, do you feel like you're a radio producer who's like, You got your board there. You got the monitors. You're listening. Oh, I got. And we got traffic and weather on the 8th. Stay tuned.
Honk, honk.
Brandon's the weather.
Maybe we'll do a morning drive radio shock jock bit for our post show. So go to patreon.com/apatheticenthusiasm if you want to see that post show. How you doing? You feeling rested, bud?
Yeah, I could probably stay up for another like hour.
Ooh, all right. Good.
I've got more energy than a bustin' mule from Cincinnati.
Ooh, that is a reference I get. I don't. I'm sorry. I don't. Well, if that, if we have a shelf life on your, I don't know, tiredness, then let's go get into our first segment, a segment we like to call semi-pertinent news.
Semi-pertinent news coming to you. Coming to you. All right. That's right. Semi-pertinent news.
That's great.
Coming to you today. We've got a lot of special news for you. This one, I gotta tell you, Travis. This semi-pertinent news. It's pretty pertinent to the main show. Yeah. But I've got a little bit of FOMO. I won't lie to you.
I got a lot of FOMO. I got a lot of FOBO.
Yeah.
Fo show.
Now we've been to WonderCon. We've been to San Diego Comic-Con, SDCC, as they say, but there's something
they call it.
There's something special happening this year at NYCC. That's right. Not your Comic-Con. That's kind of what they're saying.
Not your Comic-Con.
not your Comic-Con show. Yeah, that's right. Adult Swim's Rick and Morty Season 8 sneak peek is happening there with everybody, yeah. Man.
Yeah. So in New York next month, if you have your tickets for New York City, New York Comic Con, Adult Swim has made their announcements for their panels, things that they're showing for that event. And as excited as we were to be in the Rick and Morty anime panel at San Diego Comic Con, sounds like the fans in New York City are getting quite a show. The Adult Swim Rick and Morty Season 8 sneak peek is going to be happening on October 17th. That's a Thursday, 4:45 to 5:45. Real simple time to remember. Thursday at 4:45.
a nice even time. I
think they call that prime time in New York.
We always do it on the quarters. That's when we set up.
That's the way to do it. They are going to be celebrating the return of the global phenomenon Rick and Morty with executive producers Dan Harmon and Scott Martyr, friend of the show, as well as voice cast Harry Belden, Ian Cardoni, Sarah Chalk, Spencer Grammer, and Chris Parnell. I'm telling you, the whole Smith family is there. Yeah, and they're going to be diving into the upcoming season, which sounds super fantastic. That's awesome.
Yeah, I'm super thrilled about it for the people that will be there.
Yes.
We are not going to be those people, but no. Hopefully that sneak preview immediately after they show it, they release it to the masses, because I think the masses of Rick and Morty fans are ready, willing, and anxious to see what new content will come in 2025.
I agree. Any other impromptu without any warning that I was going to ask this, predictions or things that you're hoping to see out of this presentation?
Maybe some guest star. Maybe that's something like okay. Giving a hint for guest stars that are going to come in the next season.
I just want a Season 8 date.
Oh yeah. No,
that's the only thing. Like, yeah, obviously I want clips, sizzle reel, if you will. But if they could announce a date for Season 8, I'm here for it.
Yeah.
I would love that. So
I want to hear, Dan Harmon say they're drawing it.
Yeah, and then Steve Levy's behind him, just like being like, "Soon, it's happening soon." Yeah, if you are in New York for the Comic Con, Adult Swim's doing other things, not just the Rick and Morty panel. They're also doing a sneak peek and a Q&A for Lazarus. This is another anime coming to Adult Swim. Jason DeMarco, friend of the show.
Yeah.
He'll be there. Joseph Cho.
Yeah.
Also, I think we'll call him a friend. I mean, like, we'd say hi if we saw him.
Yeah, yeah. Acquaintance of the show.
Acquaintance. A friend of a friend of the podcast. And then another thing that they're going to be doing is another Adult Swim Night of News screening. This is something that they did back at San Diego Comic-Con, out at Adult Swim Fest on the Green Pirate Party, whatever it was called this year. But they'll be doing another one of those out in New York. So if you are in New York for a Comic-Con in October, make sure you check all those things out if you're an Adult Swim fan. And let us know what you think of the panel, maybe if you go at 4:45 on Thursday.
Anxious to hear what you think. If you do, we said the links are at the top of the show. Send us an email, rickandmortypodcast@gmail.com. Hit us up on X, Twitter, or Instagram. Shoot us those notes.
Yeah. And odds are we will get some sort of press release immediately after it happens. So we will definitely be covering and breaking down everything that we hear about the panel on an upcoming episode.
That's right.
All right, Brandon, what else you got?
All right. Of course, no episode of this show would be complete without the Reddit post of the week. This one is brought to you by Chaos Reigns. It's supposed to be like Chaos Reigns, but it's R-A-E-N-S. So Reigns.
Clever. It's well done.
The title Five is No Notes. The title is First Page of Jerry's Book. This post got 2,500 upvotes, and it is a screenshot of Jerry's Book, Season 6, Episode 6. Now, they spent way too much time zooming in and trying to pause at the right moment so they could see exactly what is written in Jerry's Book, which they did. They did the work for us. Thank you so much. Now I'm going to read it to you, fine listener. Now, some people think books are only written by great men and women. They think you have to be brilliant to write a book, or be good at sports, or host a talk show, and to say that, oh yeah, want proof? Well, what are you holding in your hands? A book. And you are holding this book because I am sitting down right now and I'm writing it. And I'm not very good at sports, and I'm not a talk show host, and a lot of people don't think I'm brilliant. I guess I should tell you a little bit about myself. I'm a family man with two beautiful children. I also have a wife. Her name is Beth, and she is beautiful just like my children, but in a more sexual way to me, unlike my children. In a way, I am a grandfather, but that is something I don't like to talk about. And that's my family, so let's begin. But where should we begin? We should start where all things start, at chapter one. Welcome to my book. This is exciting. If you like it so far, turn the page and read chapter two. Not your right, my right now. Okay. There it is.
You know what I love so much about that is how much time, how much nonsense and comedy is baked into that image that most people will never even appreciate or see because it goes by so quickly in the show.
Yeah, I really like the, in a way I am a grandfather, but that's something I don't like to talk about.
Poor Morty Jr.
Poor Morty Jr. Poor Naruto.
Yeah, double grandfather.
Yeah.
Either one embarrassing in any way, anyway, whatsoever. All right. Well, there you have it. That is the Reddit post of the week, as well as our semi-pertinent news. If you see a semi-pertinent Rick or Morty news, Rick and or Morty news story that you think we should cover, send it to the social links and we will cover it in an upcoming episode. Yeah, that's going to do it for that. When we come back from this break, then we will be diving into season one, episode 5 of Rick and Morty, the anime. That's Family. So stick around. We will be right back.
Fall into big savings, all in the Kroger app. Get 12 packs of delicious Coca-Cola, Pepsi, or 7-Up for $4.99 each with your card and a digital coupon. Then buy one, get one free on our full line sale of tender Tyson chicken with your card. Shop these deals at your local Kroger today, or tap the screen now to download the Kroger app to save big today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Prices and product availability subject to change. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Hey, everybody. Welcome back. Thank you for listening to any ads that you did or did not receive. Thank you for your patience. Yeah. We're glad you're here.
And hopefully Brandon did his due diligence and put the correct time. I went through and I explained to Jeff earlier over lunch why he is getting the ads at the wrong time. And I went through a collection of situations where I have messed up because I have not been diligent in the past. So if you hear any mistakes, it's purely the fault of redcircle.com and definitely not BrandonCruz.com.
Way to throw our hosting service under the bus. just like we'll do with so many other things in the next segment that we like to call the main thing.
It's the main thing. The main thing.
You know what's funny is so when I'm recording,
what's funny?
Everything
Travis?
Is funny. I have two copies of our faces on my screen at any given time because I have the actual window where our chat is happening. Uh-huh. And then I have the streaming software that I'm using to record it. So I have my face like in the center of the screen and then two Brandons on either side. And when you're going, ha 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 ha, like you're moving in perfect unison. So it's like a weird Brandon choreographed dance.
Oh, interesting.
All around me.
Interesting.
It's great. It's fantastic. I love it. All right. This episode is episode 5 of Rick and Morty, the anime called Family.
Family.
The air date was September 12th, 2024. Written and directed by Takashi Sano. The synopsis, the official synopsis, according to Max, Jerry does something bad, or maybe it's good. So now the Yakuza are after the Smiths.
Very good. Very good.
I think it's interesting that they're not even sure what's going on in this episode. Maybe it's good.
Uh-huh. The synopsis that you put together, Jerry is a hero, bruh. But which Jerry is it, bruh? very, very good. Very good.
Confusion is consistent with both synopses. yeah. All right. So I don't know. What were your initial thoughts on this episode? Having watched it so diligently, Brandon.
Yeah. So Thursday. No, strike that. Friday 13th. This last week. I was waiting to watch one of all of the Jason movies, right? And I'm like, I'm gonna wait for my kid and Chelsea. They're doing their own thing. So you know what? I'm gonna watch Rick and Morty the anime.
Just out camping, yep. Camp Crystal Lake, and just
yeah. Crystal Lake Research Facility. If you're watching Jason X and. They weren't around. So I started watching the episode and then they came home and then I got distracted. So I didn't finish watching the episode then. And I didn't have a chance to finish watching the episode until today. And so that's Brandon's history of when he watched the episode.
That's good. Because that's good. That's good information because it sets the scene for the rest of our podcast.
Yeah. And I saw Green Day and Smashing Pumpkins on Saturday. I went down to SoFi Stadium, meant to go see Rancid, but you know, we were trying to get cheap tickets. And so we did one of those things where we didn't buy tickets ahead of time. Me and my buddy, Justin, we went down there like, we're going to get tickets, but we heard that tickets go down a lot, but like after the show starts. So that's what we did. We walked all the way to SoFi Stadium without having tickets. And then we got to one of the security guard points and she said, do you have tickets? I'm like, no, we're buying them right now. She's like, oh, well, you probably want to go over there because that's going upstairs. And we said, no, we're supposed to be here because this is where the floor is. She's like, oh, look at you, floor seat people. So this episode of Rick and Morty, the anime, Jerry, this is one of the episodes that it feels episodic. It feels the closest thing to a Rick and Morty episode primary that we have this entire season of the show so far.
I definitely agree. I definitely agree.
And, you know, the focus on Jerry, the fact that Rick and Morty have a little Rick and Morty adventure, all kind of I'll kind of lead into that, lean into that. Oh, this is right. That's right. It's Rick and Morty.
Yeah. Even just the way this episode opens with the family at the breakfast table.
Yeah.
Right. And having some banter and some dialogue while sitting around the table at breakfast feels very Rick and Morty. It feels very much like many other Rick and Morty episodes have opened. And there are parallels throughout the episode where I feel like it touches back or ties back into the original Rick and Morty in some ways, whether that's through cameos or other things. But then there's also other parts of this episode that feel very distinctly like the anime. And I think so it doesn't feel like they're just putting like that anime skin over a Rick and Morty episode. It still feels like it's its own thing. So,
yeah.
And the fact that it's a Jerry episode, like that's huge. Like we have talked many times in the past that we have appreciation for Jerry. In some ways we see ourselves in Jerry, and he's a lovable loser. And sometimes he's just a loser. But yeah, yeah. So,
Travis, you talk about us finding ourselves in Jerry a little bit. And I got to tell you, somebody was parked in front of my house the other day for like 2 days in a row and the whole street is empty. There's no one's parked anywhere else on the street, but somebody is like parked directly in front of my house with their passenger door leading directly to like the walkway that goes to my front door. And I'm like, why are you parked there, person? Why is it my house that you're even if they parked 5 feet further down the street, it may still be in front of my house, but it's not directly in the path of my walkway. It's very frustrating. Anyway, so I feel Jerry in that moment. What I liked about this episode was it felt very cameo heavy too, with Nimbus. Nimbus shows up, Cronenberg yeah. Jerry, who the last time we saw him was when he was killed by Rick Prime. And really, really emphasize this is the first time that we've seen Jerry and Cronenberg Jerry, right? Because they'd never met each other before.
Gosh, I feel like there was one scene, maybe not. I'm not sure. I don't know because Morty and Summer go back,
yeah,
to the Cronenberg timeline, but I don't know that Jerry ever has.
Yeah, yeah, and so I think that's a really good way to juxtapose, to compare the two characters of what it's like for Jerry to be quasi competent. Versus still his old Jerry self.
Yeah, and we really get kind of almost like a triad of Jerry's because it seems like there's three distinct versions. You have your Jerry, right? Your C-137, your kind of loser, unemployed, hanging out around the house, into his hobbies type Jerry that is lacks confidence, lacks... you know, just motivation in a lot of ways. Then you have that Cronenberg Jerry who is a survivor. He's strong. He's independent. He's take charge. He's motivated. And then we are introduced into like this other form of Jerry that is sort of what we ultimately figure out is what happens if Rick was to get his hands on Jerry to be able to train him to sculpt Jerry into a superhero through some rather interesting different processes. But yeah, so we get like this superhero Jerry that is stoic and sure of himself and confident. Yeah, and honestly for me, I talk about which Jerry is it or. I was confused at times because of time jumping again, like which Jerry is this? Is this the original Jerry from the beginning of the episode? Is this a different timeline Jerry? This is the anti Jerry, like maybe. And so those sorts of things kind of got confusing for me as I was watching the episode. I don't know how you felt about it.
Yeah, I mean, I think the question I have for you is by the end of the episode, did you know who was who?
I believe so. Yes.
Okay. Good.
Relatively confident.
Good. Because I don't. And but what I was, you mentioned the anti-Jerry. That was another aspect of this episode that felt Rick and Morty, there was kind of the tongue in cheek breaking the fourth wall bit of, we don't have time for that.
Yeah, we're going to the antiverse, but the animation's not going to be backwards because it's too expensive. Like,
yeah.
That was one of my favorite bits of the episode, was like that fourth wall break, because it felt like one of the first times I think that we've seen that in the anime.
Yeah. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Yeah. So I don't know. I don't know. I mentioned I'm confused by the which Jerry is which Jerry. But you know, they go on. They Cronenberg Jerry and our, I'll just say, classic Jerry are visited by a nice little like creature from the Black Lagoon-ish creature, which takes us into the Mr. Nimbus piece, which we already brought up. Mr. Nimbus.
Yeah.
Go ahead.
Yeah. Well, that sort of revolves around the idea of the sword, right? Which we see the sword that ends up, I think, teleporting Cronenberg Jerry to the regular Jerry's world. And then but Jerry's passed out. And so then Cronenberg Jerry has been like slaughtering minions for a while he's taking a nap. But like this, the origin of this sword, like this is another thing that I feel like I've seen a couple times where we're introduced to an item or an artifact or a concept or a character in this show well before we're given any explanation of like where it comes from, why it's there, what it's for, what the attributes of it are. So there's just a glowy sword that teleports him. And then for some reason, Mr. Nimbus is interested in it. And then like halfway through that, I think we get a flashback as to where it came from. Maybe. I think.
Yeah. Mr. Nimbus is not interested in having the sword. He knows that the sword is going to cause problems. So that's why he's sending assassins out to get it, to stop it.
Yeah, obviously.
And he figured that Rick was going to take care of business. Richard was going to take care of business, which he eventually gets a call or text as he's drunk hanging out with the family. Like, oh, no, damn it, Jerry, get out of my stuff.
Yeah. Ultimately, he just wants the fighting to stay on the land, not to be a concern of the undersea people. He does still control the police. So he can take care of business if he needs to. But I think it was cool to see a version of Nimbus, and I don't know, it was a neat cameo for this episode. The other cameo, I guess, is the entire Yakuza Japanese crime syndicate, which kind of comes out of nowhere, in my opinion, and I feel like, having rewatched the episode now a couple times, I'm still not 100% on like where that, like what this like we haven't seen any of these people before in any other episode. By the end of it, their leader is like trying to restore two factions and then wants Morty to be his successor. And like there are just so many things that I'm like not getting. I don't know. Yeah. Did any of that make sense to you?
there's backstory that we are clearly missing with the Yakuza story. And like, is that his daughter, the one lady who's like kind of hitting on Jerry?
Yeah, like she seemed like a daughter maybe, but then also like she was the new leader of his faction when he was in jail, maybe. I think like she took over for that half, because like it starts off with the guy with the sunglasses, and he's like, ah, Jerry Smith. And then it's like flashback to when he is younger and he encounters superhero Jerry Smith. And I was like, oh, okay. It's a time travel thing, because like that's totally the thing that happens all the time in anime. The Rick and Morty anime is the time travel stuff. So maybe this superhero version time traveled back, and now he's. Oh wait, I think I'm formula. I think I'm putting it together as we talk about it.
Okay. Okay.
Because
walk us through it, Travis.
Because the whole Yakuza thing happens in the Antiverse, right? It's when the Smith family goes to the Antiverse that they get in this whole big fight with a bunch of Japanese mobsters. So, and the Antiverse is the version of reality that superhero Jerry lives in, which he became superhero Jerry because he was pathetic. And then Rick trained him up, and then he becomes a superhero and takes down the Yakuza. Splits the factions, denies the woman a kiss. All of these things happen in the Antiverse.
And because the Antiverse is going one way, right? And then the other universe is going the other. That is the convergence of the two verses.
Yeah, I just don't remember how he got all angry about Jerry Smith at the beginning. Anyway, that makes sense. That makes more sense. So this is all happening in a different version of reality in the same dimension. Yeah, perfect. Great episode. No notes.
Yeah, no, it sounds like you have everything. We all want to thank you, Travis, for.
Yeah, you're welcome, everybody.
Very
thanks for listening.
Very clearly explaining what was going on.
It all happened in the Antiverse. All of the Japanese mob Yakuza stuff happened in the Antiverse. The superhero Jerry stuff. All of that's anti-Jerry.
Got it.
Yeah. But for some reason, there's also a superhero Jerry suit for the regular Jerry. But he's kind of fatter in it.
Yeah.
It makes sense. Hmm. Also, there was like Morty's Mindbenders elements where they like wiped his memory.
Right. And then at some point in time, Jerry thanks Rick and was like, let's thank you for the opportunity. But
this is the hard hitting preparation and analytical thinking that you come to this podcast.
It's hard. It's hard. Yeah, because it is everywhere, and dense is dense. The word. There's a lot of things, a lot of factors for the episode, and I don't know all of what ties into all of everything else. And
here's what I'm going to say, and maybe it's because I'm getting older. I appreciate nonlinear storytelling. I love movies, TV shows that use that as a tool to creatively tell a story or show you parts of a story in a different order that by the time they show you, if they were to show you in chronological order, it would ruin the effectiveness of the story or something like that. Like movies like, what was it? Memento or something like that, where it's like the whole movie's in reverse and it's super confusing for people. And I really appreciated that because I thought it was a creative way of telling the story. The nonlinear storytelling in some of these episodes, I'm having a hard time following it sometimes. And it legitimately takes me a couple times of watching it to be like, okay, all right, this timeline goes with this one, and it's this. And I think it's just the way it's no fault of the creators necessarily. I think it's just a different creative process and the way that like it jumps between scenes, but it'll jump between scenes and timelines and dimensions and realities. Like, and I'm like, oh, okay, wait, which version of Rick is this?
Yeah.
And is it the same version of Rick with the long hair that we've seen before? Or is it another one? And I admittedly get confused sometimes. Yeah. But as I talk through it now, I'm like, okay, that all makes sense. It all had to do with the Antiverse, which was basically another dimension. I don't know. Do you get it? I think I get it.
I watched Tenet one time And it was also very confusing. So it's not that it's bad. It's just that I have to put a lot of
we're just a couple of Jerry's.
I have to put
over
a
here,
lot
guys.
Of extensive thinking into it. So like the mind benders aspect of it, you know, I think that is interesting. Maybe a little shoehorned. I think I don't necessarily know if we needed that to understand the rest of the episode.
Here's what I'm curious about, because you talk about this feeling like more of like a bottle episode or like a self-contained storyline. I'm wondering if this actually plays out in future episodes or in additional things, right? Where does this sword is somehow tied back to that alien race that we've seen in the first four episodes. L is still around and there's a cover up, right? Rick gets everybody together for a picture again at the end of this, and then Morty's mind blowers them and wipes their memory, right? So they forget everything about what's going on with the sword. And then post-credit stinger, he also mind blowers the superhero Jerry and makes him forget all about being a superhero. Does that happen before? Does that happen before with actual Jerry? Is that does that Jerry just go back to being a normal Jerry? And now Rick is the only one that knows about the sword in the family again, because he's wiped the memory from everybody else in the family. So how does that play out in the future? How does that factor in? Are the people that were coming for the sword still coming? Is that something that we need to be looking forward to?
I think the question I have that you've triggered is he mind blows L as well. And yeah. What do her memories look like on replay if she knows all of past, present, and her future?
Yeah.
And if she forgets all of that, how does that type of being that sees all of that stuff start to rebuild a memory, right? If all of that's gone, is it intrinsic in her? Is it part of like a universal truth, or does she lose it all?
Do they deal with that at all, or do they just hand wave and expect us not to think about it? That is an even bigger question.
That's to me that is interesting. Because we asked last week or the week before where Rick and L like starting things in motion of, you know, where what is the plot wise, like the main plot. And we asked, well, if Rick doesn't process information as L does, how does he, you know, strategize or whatever. And we talked about, of course, we talked Watchmen, old Ozymandias, but this could be an explanation, or at least like a hint about how he figures anything out, if he has a memory of L's. I don't know. We'll see in the next episode.
We'll see. We get to find out in a few days when the new episode comes out. Overall, despite my confusion, I did like this episode. I thought there were a lot of interesting and funny bits. I think we talked about all of them, minus the freeze frames in the fight scenes where as they were fighting with like the weapons, like they would do these freeze frames where like it got like really sketchy kind of, and like looked like almost pencil drawn with a little bit more detail. I really liked that effect. I thought it was a cool look for some of the fight scenes. Any other bits that stood out to you or things that you liked?
Yeah, I think we talked about them. That fourth wall breaking was the real highlight for me.
Yes. Talked kind of best and worst already for me. Just getting confused about nonlinear storytelling is tough. But one of my favorite things, or the best parts of the episode, is that entire scene or sequence where Rick is training Jerry not to be a loser. through monster attacks, that weird inflation crushing machine, and what I like to call the pun punishment device, where it's just Jerry making a bunch of like bad pun dad joke things, and some weird tentacle thing that's just kind of torturing him as it's happening. So yeah, I thought that was funny.
That's good. Yeah, overall I liked the episode. Maybe I didn't love the episode, but I enjoyed it well enough. And it feels like the episodes as they go on, I enjoy them a little bit more than the one before.
Are we starting to get into a sort of an, I don't want to call it expectation management, but like just like a, like we get what the vibe of the anime kind of is more now that we've seen several of these episodes. So as we catch a new one, we kind of understand more of what we should be looking for. And so that it's easier to appreciate the things that are there.
Are you asking me? Is that?
Yeah. I think that is a little bit the case for me. Yeah.
Perchance, right? It might also be what's that disorder where you're a captive and then you start empathizing?
Stockholm syndrome.
Yeah. Maybe it's one of those things where like maybe I'm just starting to relate to my captor a little bit. And I'm like, okay. Yeah, Death to America. I get it. Yeah, that's cool. You know, things like maybe not that.
You're institutionalized.
Yeah.
Brooks Hadlin knew it.
Zitten Wanaheo or whatever.
Say Wataneo. You remember the name of the town, right?
I watched The Shawshank Redemption last night with Chelsea.
Get out of here. I love that movie.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. It's funny we're talking about.
You watched it last night and you couldn't remember the name of the town.
Because right. I'm not Mexican. So why do I remember a Mexican town name? Zihuatanejo. It's a Mexican fishing village.
I know. I know it is, Brandon.
So Chelsea's in a cinema class right now, and they watched Shawshank Redemption. And so she wanted to watch it with me because she has a couple of questions about the film. One of them is the film nonlinear storytelling? And I would argue, well, actually, no, the question is like, why is the film nonlinear storytelling? And I would argue that it's by and large not a nonlinear story. There's like a couple of like flashbacks, but that doesn't make it nonlinear necessarily, right?
Sure.
Like this episode, nonlinear. Like it's all over the place. It's going back and forth. That's like a conceit of it. But when Red is talking, he's narrating, all that's going chronologically. The only time that it goes kind of flashback is when the one dude shows up saying like, yeah, like I had a prison roommate of yours and he admitted to the murder. And the very beginning with it's showing how Dufresne went to prison.
I think there's an aspect because when they're looking for Andy Dufresne in his cell and the warden rips the poster off and he finds Andy's tunnel, right? That kicks off a new sequence where Andy has escaped, right? We are linear up to that point. But what we have missed throughout all of the movie is seeing how Andy is planning and executing his escape. That kicks off an explanation where we start to see how Andy, using the rock hammer, chips away a little bit. And then so then he starts getting these posters to cover up the tunnel that he's building. And then we see how he's leaving pieces of his tunnel out in the yard every day. And then how he gets involved with the tax stuff. And we see all the elements of his plan played out after we've already seen that he's escaped. And then it comes back around to that point again where we see the same scene of the warden ripping the poster away And that kind of takes us back to that moment. So,
yeah.
So, Professor, in conclusion,
I can agree with that, but it is a visual device for the viewer. By and large, that movie is not told in a nonlinear fashion. We're getting flashbacks, and where Red is understanding. Okay, you know. Welcome to the Shawshank Redemption cast.
To our Rick and Morty podcast.
Anyway, so Travis, any other thoughts? Because I have our segment of the week. Once you have some extra thoughts.
Listener suggestions and short outs. I think that's it for this episode. If you have other thoughts on this episode, or if we got anything wrong, if you think we got anything wrong, hit us up on our socials, send us an email, and we will short you out in the very next episode. Brandon, what do you got for this? The listener suggestions from your friend at work.
Jeff Bowles bringing us the I've never seen Rick and Morty, but I'm watching the anime segment of the week. A couple questions, Travis. Shitlord, a core character? That's the phone. That's what's on Jerry's or Rick's phone when Nimbus calls.
Oh,
Shitlord. No, yeah, Mr. Nimbus is not a core character, but he's a big cameo, I guess.
He's a beloved cam. He's got big Meeseeks energy.
Yeah.
Like shows up in one episode and then feels more important than he actually is.
Also, a big old cod piece. Craven the Jerry. He put that, which is, you know, that's good. It's good. It's like Craven the Hunter, but instead it's Craven the Jerry. Also an idiot. You don't have to ask. Yeah, no. He is a Jerry. He's more competent, but you know, he's still Jerry. How regular is fourth wall breaking? How often do they break it and change animation when they jump dimensions? We talked a little bit about that, about the animation. That was very fourth wall. Like, they're not going to, they're just making a comment how they don't want to do that because it's a pain in the ass.
Yeah, I would say, was it the season 4 premiere where they split time, right? Or they, and then like they're splitting the screen as they're like the Schrodinger's.
Yeah,
Rick's and all that.
That's season two, dog.
Dang, it is season two. Oh, wow. If only there was like a 7-season box set DVD release that I could. Anyway, yeah, I felt like that was a situation where they put a lot of work into additional animation to play into an effect like that.
Yeah. Let's see. Rick seems more aggressively caring than what I know of the original series. Or is it typical of Rick to play nice as a ploy to get what he wants? In this case, the sword of stealing or sealing.
Yes.
Is he aggressively more caring than in this series than he is in the main series?
I don't think so.
Yeah.
I think he's more a little bit more abrasive in the original series, but he can definitely I don't know, be kind to get what he wants. Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. I don't feel like this particular incarnation, is that right? I don't know if this version of Rick is as, I don't think it's a ploy. Although all the mindbendery stuff feels kind of like classic Rick manic.
Yeah.
Anyway, two more questions. Well, actually, no, this isn't a question. It's just a comment. This episode felt very episodic. Like, they made all the introductions in the first half of the season, gave the regulars all of the Easter eggs, and are finally getting down to regular Rick and Morty, which is kind of lame for the series. That's his commentary on it.
That's viewer thoughts.
This is like actual short out.
These thoughts do not represent the thoughts of Interdimensional RSS or the Apathetic Enthusiasm Podcast Network.
They don't necessarily. They may, yeah. but we won't admit one way or the other. And then finally,
any associations to people living or dead.
What the fuck is that stinger? Is actual last question, Travis? Yeah,
you should watch some Mind Blowers, my guy.
Yeah. So that's interesting. Morty's Mind Blowers is one of the great clip show episodes of the series.
Classic.
So
classic.
Yeah, that's one of those episodes, Jeff, you should go check out if you have not, which I know you haven't because
available streaming on Max.
And next day with subtitles. Okay. Yes. Well, Travis, that's all I've got. You know, I just want to say this to our fans, to fans of the show, fans of the anime, fans of our podcast. Thank you all for listening. Thanks for being on this adventure through nonlinear storytelling. What I was trying to point out, this is part of the meta gag, Travis. That's why I was talking about Green Day and going to see in Smashing Pumpkins, because I saw Smashing Pumpkins back in like 2018 or so, and they were the headliners, and they were really, really good. And I was like, oh my God, like I didn't realize I knew so many Smashing Pumpkins songs. And then, but I really enjoyed them. They opened up for Green Day, which I think is kind of weird, right? Because I feel like Smashing Pumpkins is a better band than Green Day. But Green Day were the headliners. But the thing that I was really annoyed with Green Day was they played Dookie all the way through and American Idiot all the way through. And but they started the show by doing We Are the Champions. They played just the album version of We Are the Champions. And then throughout the concert, Billy Joe Armstrong was like, oh, trying to get the crowd to go, oh. It felt very cringy. It was very, very cringy. And I don't want that to happen to Rick and Morty the anime. I don't want it to be a greatest hits of Easter eggs where they force a hey-o, and come on, Los Angeles, that's great to be here. Put your hands up like 50 times. I can't even, like, on both. I need more than my 10 fingers and toes to tell you how many times he said, get your hands up and clap. Like, shut up, Billy Joe. Just play the music. Stop trying to be Freddie Mercury. And that's what I love about Rick and Morty. So thank you all for listening. We appreciate you. Thanks for being fans and being a part of this with us.
All right, that's going to do it for this episode. We'll see you next time. I'm Travis. He's Brandon. Okay, bye.
Bye.